I've titled this Jesus, the Door to a New Life. And if you saw it on Facebook, you'll have seen a little picture that I found, which sort of symbolized, you know, we're trapped in this world, in our own whatever, in our own prison of our own making, and Jesus opens a doorway for us to live a new life and a different life, and the life, actually, to be honest, that we were always supposed to live. So we're not going to somewhere new. We're getting back to where we should be. We're going back to reality. We're moving from this prison of unreality, and we're trying to get to the place where God intended us to be in the first place, and He always wanted to be. In John 10 and verse 7, He says, "I am the door for my sheep." So, you know, that is the sense that He wants to go first. He is the doorway, and then we all follow after Him. And so as we talk about baptism, that's the same thing we're talking about now. We're saying Jesus has gone first. He's been baptized, and now we follow. He is the firstborn of many brethren. So in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, let me see if I can get my glasses. I thought I could do this without my glasses, but I don't think I can, so I better put them on for reading purposes. There's a passage here. It says, "Those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." And that's an interesting passage to understand what that sequence of events that Jesus. We've been called, and we've been called into a relationship. And then because there are issues that stop us having a relationship with God, Jesus has done everything for us to have that. We've been justified. It's just as if we'd never done anything wrong, and there's now nothing separating us between heaven and earth, between us and God. So that's the justified. And now glorified, that is living in our original design. That is learning to live in unity with God. The glory of God is the unity and the connection of God. So we are glorified. We're becoming more connected from one degree of glory to another. Glorified can feel like being good, getting it all right, but that's not it. Getting it right is getting connected to God, and that is an important thing we need to learn in this process, that righteousness is not about not sinning, it's about being connected to God. So Jesus is our example. He's always our example. He's our example in baptism, but He's also our example in leadership, servant leadership. He's our example in every area of life. How we are designed to live is how Jesus did it. So when Jesus was baptized, He restored the functioning of the kingdom. And I talked last week about He flipped this world upside down. Up until that point, we were living in this upside down world where you do something to be something. You do X, Y, and Z, and then you get value out of that. And that's the world that is around us. You know, the question that everyone asks you, what do you do? What do you do? What they want to say is, how valuable are you? if you're really rich or important, or you do something special, oh, I'm going to talk to you. But if you don't do anything, then I'm going to rate you in that way. And that is the system. We accept people on the basis of what we think they do, and whether they justify their existence, and their value goes up and down on those sorts of metrics. Jesus said, now let's get it right. First of all, you are something. You be something. You be to do. You don't do to be. So you are valuable. You are worthy. You are wanted. You are loved. And then out of that as a foundation, then when you do some stuff, great. You learn to serve. You learn to serve others, but you're doing that not for value. You're doing that because that's the right thing to do, and that's what, out of your health, you like Jesus serve others. So when He got baptized, suddenly the kingdom is flipped back the right way again. And if you're kind of questioning that, think, oh, I'm not sure that's what happened. Well, you know, Jesus heard from heaven a voice that said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And the moment after that, he's led by, the Bible tells us, he's led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. And then there's this series of questions that he's asked by the devil who comes to tempt him. And the first question he asks is, "If you are the Son of God." Now, if nothing had happened in baptism, why would the enemy come and try and undo the process? And the first thing he tries to do is he tries to get Jesus back into the performance mode. If you're the Son of God, you've got to prove it. You've got to do something to prove your value. You've got to do something to prove you're the Son of God. You've got to do something to be valuable. And you know, it kind of reinforces the lie of the enemy. Often the things he's saying to you, he's the father of lies, and it's almost the easiest thing is to say it's the opposite. So when he says you're worthless and you're useless and nothing's going to happen good in your life, you know, well, that's a lie, which means that, you know what, I'm none of those things and good things are going to happen because God is with me. So, you know, Jesus did the same thing. If you are the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread, feed yourself, resource yourself, prove yourself. And so Jesus was like, no, we're not doing that. I have set this new kingdom going and I'm not going to undo it in my first few moments. In Romans 6, it says, verse 4, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of God, we too may live a new life." So the purpose of this kingdom, the purpose of baptism, the purpose of following Jesus is to live a new life. It's to live something different than we're currently living. And, baptism isn't just about being kind of washed clean. You know, John's baptism, I talked last week about these colours. You know, it's like Jesus is wearing this coloured shirt, a blue shirt. I've got a slightly bluer one on today than I had last week. But no one's ever seen this colour, and no one ever knows that we should all be dressed in blue. We should be like this. What's happened is that this world has brought about an influx of yellow, and therefore everyone's shirts are now green, and they're a mix of what they shouldn't be. And so baptism washes away all of that. That yellow, all of that sin, all of that dysfunction, and brings us back up blue. That's John's baptism, but Jesus's baptism means that we can remain blue. It allows us to start walking so that we can live this life and not just try through self-effort to get back and keep ourselves clean. We can't do that. We cannot physically stop this world sticking to us and having an effect on us. And the righteousness that Jesus was talking about and the right standing with God is not about not sinning. It is about allowing us to live knowing, you know, we can't do this without him, that Jesus in us, that Jesus with us, that Jesus through us enables us to live this new life and to live a life connected with God. When you're connected to God, you're in right standing with him, and therefore everything else is irrelevant. And, you know, some of your theological background might come from this constant, we've got to try and keep clean, we've got to try and keep ourselves clean, we've got to try self-effort. When we get it right, sometimes we're full of pride. Well, I don't, a bit like the Pharisees, I don't do that, like those people over there. You know, I don't smoke and drink and swear, and I don't do this and I don't do that. So we're full of pride, which is sin in itself. Or we're full of shame. Oh, I'm miserable. I can never get this right. I can never do this properly. How can God ever love me? Because, you know, I'm just a miserable sinner. That is shame. It's the other side of the coin of pride. They're both the same coin. They're both equally bad. The pride people look at the shame people and go, I'm glad I'm not like them. And, you know, but actually, it's in Christ that none of those things, both of those things are self-effort or self-loathing, but they're all about self. And it's in Jesus, and only in Jesus, that we find a way of living this new life, putting both of those things aside and living free of shame, free of pride, back to our original design in relationship with God. And that sounds, that description sounds very much like the original purpose of God, Adam and Eve, in the garden. Jesus said he wanted to be the firstborn of many brothers. And so, you know, he's saying, be like me. And at that point, Jesus, as a human, was connected to God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was empowered to live that connected life. What he had to start to do at that point, and that's what we are learning to do, he had to start to agree with the Father about his value and about his perspective on him, and not agree with those around him. So when the enemy came to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, now he's got, right, well, this person's saying, maybe I'm not the Son of God, but I've just heard from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. So which one am I going to agree with? So he's going to say, well, you know what? I choose to agree with every word that comes from the Father. It is written. You know, he used scripture to come back at the enemy, and we can do that. But we can also know from words that we hear directly from heaven what he thinks about us. And that's what we have to do throughout life. Living this new life is about agreeing with the Father and not allowing this world to dictate how our emotional state is going to be, and therefore how our life is going to go. We've got to go, Father, what do you think? And I'm going to choose to agree with that. And that's what Jesus started to do as he walked into this ministry that he had. Ministry is not for God. Your connection with God is your connection with God. And your ministry is you serving others. If you are serving others, if you are doing this ministry to try and please God, you've missed the point. You already have a connection with God. And as a result of that, he asks, hey, why don't you serve and give and love others? And that becomes your ministry. You may have got that the wrong way around. I need a ministry because then God will love me and I'll be doing something good for him. Or, you know, don't you know what my ministry is? You know, don't you know who I am? I've got a great ministry. You've got to get that perspective right. It starts with God and your connection with him. And then as a result of that connection, you serve others just like Jesus did. And Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, serve. You've got to be the least. You've got to love the least, the lost, those who've got nothing to give back to you. So anyway, I'll leave you with that one. Won't get carried away too much with that. You know, we ask these questions and we need to hear the answer from God. You know, who am I? And we hear the answer from God, you're my child. Then, am I valuable? And we hear the answer from God, yes, you are loved. You are liked. I am extremely fond of you, you know, from the shack, or, you know, you're my favorite, because that's what God can say. Do I deserve to be treated well? You know, some people have got themselves crushed into this position where they think, well, what I'm getting is all I deserve. No. God says, I'm well pleased with you. That's what his words are saying. You're my child. You are loved. I'm well pleased with you. And why am I here? What is the point of all of this? Why am I on earth? Why do I exist? Well, God says, you exist to be in relationship with me. And if we go back to the called, justified and glorified, you're called not to ministry, not to some job that he wants you to do. Right, come here, I've got a job for you. You're called into relationship. The goal of Christianity is a relationship with God, which enables us then to love and have a relationship with others. All of that was lost, but through Jesus and through baptism, it was restored. People need to be valued and accepted to be able to live healthily. Let me say that again. People need to be accepted. They need to be valued. And then only then can they live in health. That's what Jesus did. He didn't ask people to change before he valued them or loved them. And, you know, even when someone's doing something that is very negative or very self-destructive, that doesn't change their value. There is a sort of strange theology that is about, that says we don't have any value unless the only value God sees in us is because Jesus is in us. I'm not sure where that comes from. I'm not sure what the scriptural basis of it is, and I don't believe it, because why did God so love the world if we were just valueless hollow vessels that he just wanted to put Jesus in, so that he could then say, well, look, I've got a load of clay pots, they just happen to have some treasure in them. I get bits of it, but I think that God has created me and you completely uniquely. We're a completely marvelous creation, and in us he sees something infinitely valuable and worth giving himself to restore that relationship. And whether it's however you figure it out, I think that when you know that, something changes. When you know you're valued and when you know you're accepted, then you start to live in health. And if you take, let's say, the woman at the well, Jesus, I don't think the tone of his conversation was, you know, accusatory. It was, she felt valued and she felt loved and accepted, so much so that she was able to be honest and say, you know what, yeah, I'm not married, I've given up on that thing, I've had so many of these guys come and go, I'm not sure I believe it anymore. And Jesus didn't say, well, we'll get yourself sorted out and come back and I'll meet you in a month and see if, you know, he said, hey, you drink from me, you won't thirst again. And she went back to the village and said, you need to meet this guy, he gets me. And I think that's what we need to say to people. Look, you need to meet Jesus, you need to meet the Father, because they get you, they see your value, they see your worth, they will, you are accepted. And then once you've got that, you can start to get health in your life, because that's what God wants as well. You don't need to be good to be accepted. That's a performance. That's the old way. That's, if you do something, you can be something. That's what the enemy wants to say. Be good. Don't sin. Try and get it all together. That doesn't work. Never has, never will. We've got to say, no, that's not how it works. We're valued and loved and accepted. And because of that connection, we want to live a healthy life. We want to try and do it in connection with God and not try and do it ourselves. At the end of Matthew, there's a great passage, the Great Commission, they call it. It says, go into all the world, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to follow or observe everything that I've taught you. So basically what Jesus is saying, go and show them that I'm the doorway, and then show them how to live this life. Baptism is show them who they are, get them connected with God, get them to understand that they're valuable, get them to understand that they need to be connected to me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then teaching them how to live this new life is teaching them how to connect and keep and remain connected. And, you know, that's part two of baptism. It's taking John's baptism, which gets us into, you know, which identifies and washes us, if you like, clean, and gets us bright and shiny and new, and makes us a new creation and all of that. And now we've got to live, we've got to follow Jesus through that doorway, and we've got to learn to live in connection with heaven and with him. And we've got to learn to live in agreement with what the Father says about us and not what the world says about us. And so many of us are being shaped by what the world says and not shaped by the opinion of the Father. So let me pray, and then we're going to have some worship. And I know, hopefully that has helped you in your continued understanding of baptism. There'll be one final part. And again, that'll be talking about how when we learn to live this way, it has an effect on every aspect of our life. So yeah, tune in second week of July, the alternate week, and see the third part before we actually go to our baptism service on the 17th. So good. Father, I thank you that you re-established this connection, that Jesus, you agreed with the Father, the Holy Spirit, you were able to empower that agreement. Thank you that that dance of the Trinity began. It was pulled down to earth by Jesus's baptism. Thank you that we flipped the kingdom again, and now suddenly the kingdom is re-established that says you are something, you're worth something, you're valuable to God, and because of that you can do something. And Lord, it's so difficult because we are pressed into the mold of this world, but today, Father, I just pray that you would free people, that we get some understanding that, hold on a minute, why am I doing this? If he loves me, why am I letting other people push me about and set my value? And so Father, I just pray that you would release people, they would see that the door is open, the prison is open, the gates, they're free to go, and they would start to take those tentative steps, holding your hand, to journey back to that life which you always intended them to live and always intended us to live, connected with heaven, loving God, connected with each other, loving each other. In Jesus' name. Amen.